Back on In Focus, News Radio KMAN, Brandon Peoples talking with Cheryl Collins, director of the Riley County Historical Museum. We're getting an update on the city of Riley 100 years ago in 1920, and I understand that was the same year the American Legion was established.
Yeah, the American Legion at Riley was established December 27th, 1919, so 1920 was its really first year. The commander was Lewis Timmons. The post adjutant was Harold Goebel. The post vice commander was E.J. Otto. And post finance officer was Sam Fuchsia. And post historian Casper Hasbrook. And post master at arms Arthur Robertson. And post chaplain Donald Abel. And of course, that organization became a big organizer of community events. And with World War I veterans returning, of course, it had a big membership and an active membership. So that was an important organization in 1920 in Riley.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Well, let's talk a little bit about the schools. There was the Riley Rural District. Is that similar to what we have today, or is that different?
It's different. Okay. The Riley County High School was a consolidation school where Riley, Leonardville, and Keats came together. In 1920, it was important for Riley because they organized a rural high school district. And what that meant is they had expanded boundaries, which meant that they had more money in their district and could offer greater curriculum and so on. So 1920 was kind of a big educational year in Riley. That new school district board that was elected in 1920, the director was Dr. J.B. Norman. W.M. Yonke was elected clerk but declined, so Mrs. A.J. Potterf was appointed, and that's Lucy Potterf, Potterf Hall in the fairgrounds was named for her, and she's a fascinating person. And the clerk was A. Bonenblust. Lucy Potterf was the clerk. A. Bonenblust was elected treasurer. So having that new, newly organized Riley County High School kind of brought that high school up to a different level. And I think there was a lot of excitement about that occurring in 1920.
You know, it's interesting. The smaller communities had those schools, and those having those schools really helped those communities thrive, wouldn't you say?
It was a major focal point of the community life, and I think that's true today, too, that the schools are a major organizer for social things and cultural things and really things that make life great. So schools were really important in 1920, and they're really important in Riley today.
We have a caller who just called in, so let's get to them real quick with a question or a comment. Good morning.
Good morning. I just want to thank you so much for having this program this morning and talking about all this history in the little town of Riley. I recognized so many names from up there. I was born and raised in Manhattan, born in 1947, and a lot of those names apparently must have moved to Manhattan because they're very recognizable to me, and it's wonderful that you take care of our history the way you do. It's too bad that more people don't realize how important our history and our background is because of all the hard work and sacrifices that the first people who came to this area made, and the time, talent, and treasure that they gave to the communities. I just want to thank you for all that you've said this morning. Thank you.
Well, thank you. One of the things I love is finding those connections between the past and the present and all of the ways that our lives still connect to life in 1920 Riley. So thank you. I appreciate it.
You know, we were talking earlier off air here on the program, Cheryl and I were, about about all the history you could probably uncover just going to one of these cemeteries up there. And, you know, you go to a cemetery and you see the headstone, you see, you know, when they lived, when they died. But really, there's much more that goes in that in-between part. And you guys can help, I know, at the museum with people who want to research that kind of stuff.
Yes, we're happy to help researchers. They can just give us a call at 785-565-6490, and our archivist will be glad to see what we have that can help or make suggestions in other places they might look. History is fascinating, and I love going to cemeteries. Whenever I go up to Riley, I try to go by through the cemetery and visit all the people that I've met at work. It's just fun seeing all of those names, and you can tell who they're related to by who they're buried by, and just make those connections.
Yeah, it is definitely interesting. Dave Lewis joins us on the program. Dave,
good morning, Cheryl.
Good morning.
You know, I like to talk a lot about trains, and I was just kind of curious if Riley had much of a history with regard to railroads, because I don't believe that there's a single active railroad line in Riley right now.
Oh, absolutely. It was crucial. That Rock Island line.
But that time frame, yeah, there's not an active railroad line now. But
no.
Back in the founding days, about that time, railroads became also a very crucial part there, especially in the 1870s and 80s.
Yes. And, of course, that 1887 building of that Rock Island line through there changed things immensely in lots of different ways. One of the things I think of is the work crews that they had building that. They had Greeks, and they had folks that have a heritage from Mexico that were working on that line. So it brought different sorts of people into that area that hadn't been there before. And, of course, was crucial to those farmers in shipping out their products, and was crucial to the businesses and shipping in products to sell. So the coming of the railroad was a real turning point in the history of Riley.
When did the railroads leave there? Do you know?
I would have to look that up, but 1930s, I believe.
And then what was the impact, if any, on Riley with the construction of Tuttle Creek Reservoir? I know, obviously, it affected Randolph, but was there much of an impact of the transition there? Did some folks from Randolph move to places like Riley or Leonardville or Manhattan or the new current present-day Randolph?
That's a very interesting question. And I don't know if some of your listeners have thoughts on that or not. I'm trying to think of where I know that people from Randolph moved. I know some moved out of state and bought farms, like I know of folks that bought Nebraska and some other places. That's a really interesting question. I'll have to think about that a little bit more. I'm certain it had an impact, but I don't know if I have a good idea of what exactly it was.
Did the construction of the dam have a big impact on people being employed from the area?
That's a good question, too.
I'm sorry, I'm giving you all these good questions. You have no good answers today.
Well,
I'm not trying to...
I like having good questions because it opens up new history. Mm. So, and maybe some of your listeners do have some ideas on that.
What about this with the railroad being there in Riley back in 1920? Could I, as a young boy, get on the railroad and maybe travel to Leonardville or Manhattan?
Definitely to Manhattan. And in Manhattan, you had a connection to the line that went up north to Randolph. And then you had connections via that line to different places. So I'd have to look at the map at different times to see what you could connect up to. But the railroad, having the railroad gave you a connection to lots of different places. The railroad's impact by the 20s was starting to decline, though, because of the automobile.
Yeah.
You could go wherever you wanted with the automobile. And, of course, roads, they were working really hard to improve the roads.
We got a caller hanging on the line. Go ahead, caller.
Okay, I can, you don't have enough time now, but Cheryl, I'll come out and say, I can give you some stuff on right up. The Citizens State Bank came down here, Walt Bell and Dick Sheldon came down to open the Citizens State Bank, and when they closed Randolph, they moved the cemetery up to the county line. A lot of those people bought all over the country. They bought over in Gary County, around Riley. I've got a relation that was at the Riley County Schools, and I have all the diplomas. I have all the things from the school board and everything. I'll share that with you, too. I got tons of stuff. Someday when I croak, it'll all get thrown in the tipsy dumpster.
Well, someone's going to come looking for them.
And I got stuff on K-State, too.
That sounds wonderful.
All right. Thanks for the call.
And that about wraps up our show here today, Cheryl. If people want to learn more about the Historical Museum, how can they get a hold of you and where can they reach you?
Well, we'd be glad to have them come visit at 2309 Claflin Road. And if they have questions, give us a call at 785-565-6490.
What's your topic for our next month's visit going to be?
Well, I don't know. I think Alana Parker is coming next month, but I'll have to
really
figure out what she's
going
to talk about.
Yeah,
we can do some Halloween themed stuff, maybe. That'd be fun.
You know, I'd like for you to look into. I think it'd be kind of fun sometime when you have a spot. The development of Interstate 70.
Oh yes, and this is an anniversary year.
Yes,
that.
It is. Yeah. And so I think it'd be kind of fun to take a look at some of the decision-making processes that were involved and how and why it didn't necessarily make it to Manhattan like some people wanted it to.
Yes, there was a political battle.
That's a sticky thicket, isn't it?
But sometimes it works out for the best.
Yeah, we're doing good now.
Thank you, Cheryl, and we'll talk to you next. Talk to you again soon.
Great, thank you.
That's going to wrap up our show today. Coming up tomorrow, we will have a conversation with the Kansas United Way. We'll have Lyle Butler and Tara Clausen as they do their campaign kickoff.
Next hour is the GMCF Community Hour, and we're going to talk a little bit about some things that are happening with the Wamego Community Foundation, as well as a nice recognition for a member of the RCPD. Then it's the Rush Limbaugh Show, Dan Patrick, Wildcat Insider with John Kurtz and Wyatt Thompson will be followed by, what do we got? The Chiefs Kingdom at 6. It's 10 a.m. at KMAN, Manhattan.